We are remarkably blessed to have multiple copies of God's Word in our language, in our home, in different transliterations and transcriptions and translations, but a lot of places around the world don't have that. One of the ministries that has seen to it that it is their business to see God's Word placed in English as well as other languages is the Gideons. We enjoy having a representative from the Gideons each year come and tell us about that ministry. And Mr. Keith Simonson is here with us today. Two things I think we need to know. Number one, they are a faith ministry, just like many other Christian ministries, and that is that they rely on gifts from other believers to see it done. As I understand it, they take no money for themselves, but every dollar that is given goes to placing Bibles in different places. So I would ask, we will be sending a check to the Gideons, Mr. Simonson, but as you give gifts for that and somehow designate on the check or put a note on the cash, if that's the case, when it goes in the plate back there, and then that way David will know to actually designate that for them. So with that being said, I'd like to ask Mr. Keith Simonson to come up and tell us about the Gideons. You want to do the video? You're going to wait till the last to do it, okay? Okay, very good. I'm going to get this out of the way so that when the time comes, that's viewable, okay?
First of all, I want to thank you for allowing me to come to your church this morning. I really enjoyed the string music. You don't see that a lot. That was great. Is that all one family that done that, or was more? Okay, but that was great. But I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I go to Katie's Baptist Church, and my wife and I lived in Raleigh, North Carolina for 20 years, and you'd think, why would they leave Raleigh, North Carolina to come to Katy's, Kentucky? It was God. It was God. And I saw him work since we've been here. When we lived in Raleigh, I was involved in two ministries. Really, the one that really changed me was the jail ministry, and I'd like to talk about that this morning and also the military induction. But before I do that, I'd like to say that God is in everything, no matter what. And I thank Him for that. And this world is in a mess. I'll tell you, it's in a mess. Every time you turn on the news, something bad's happened. I look back to Aurora at 2012, and Adam Lanza, Newtown and Sandy Hook, on December the 14th, 2012, when 20 children and 6 adults lost their life. The Boston Marathon in 2013, just a little over 2 years ago. And today, 20 years ago, is when they had the terrible thing that happened in Oklahoma City. Today is the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of that. It just alarms me to see what's going on in the world. And when they asked the man that done the bombing there in Oklahoma City if he believed in God or if he believed in the devil, he said he didn't believe in either one. And it's so many times that happens here and around the world. Two things that we've got coming up this year, we're going to be placing our 2 billionth copy of God's Word since we've been in existence in 1899. 2 billion copies. Isn't that amazing? And now we've got a goal we call 2020. When we get to the year 2020, we're going to pass out 120 million copies of God's Word a year. That's 10 million copies a month. And we can't do it without you. And that's the reason we go to the churches to raise money to do that. I'd like to share a couple testimonies with you this morning. And this one I really like is Elliot Ozawit. You see, he grew up in a strict Jewish family. And he went to synagogue both Saturday morning and Friday night and Saturday morning. But he had no idea who God was. He got married at a very young age to his wife, Polly. They had two girls. He took a job with a touring company out of England, and he was over there, and he forgot all about his family. He said he led a very immoral life. He was on drugs and alcohol and all that, but didn't have time for his family. In the meantime, back in the States, one of his daughters was put in prison. His wife developed cancer of the breast, and he still didn't bother to come back to see him or talk to him about it. But one year around Christmas time, he decided he would change. He would go back and see him for just one time. He went back, and when he went to the door, knocked on the door, his wife said, "You haven't been here for us all these years. We don't want you here now." So he left, and he went to a gun shop downtown and bought a revolver. And then he went to a motel room. And when he got to the motel room, he laid the revolver down on the desk. And he looked over at on the television, and we placed Bibles in the motel rooms, but in the drawers, in the nightstands. And this particular place, it was laying on top of the television. And this infuriated Elliot. He went over there and he swiped his hand and he knocked that Bible across the floor, but it was open. That really made him mad. And he took his foot and he kicked it and he hit the bed spring and bounced back out, but the Bible was still open. For 3 days, Elliot Oswald read from that Bible. And then he went back and told his wife what had happened. And he went to the local church and told the pastor. And for the rest of the story, today Elliot is a pastor in a church in North Carolina because of that one Gideon Bible was in place in that motel room. And there's so many stories that I hear, so many testimonies. And the next one is about Nirgamo. He had a business in India and it was failing. He had several kids. He had 3 kids and a wife. And he said the creditors were coming down on him. And he said, "I can't let them go through this." His wife was preparing the evening meal. And he had a bottle of poison that he planned to put in that meal that night so they wouldn't have to go through all that. This is how God works. God's timing is perfect. About that time, a young daughter came bursting through the door, holding up a Bible that she had gotten at school. She said, "Daddy, will you read from this Bible?" He thought, "Well, this one last time I'll read from this Bible." And he read the little girl, and his heart was changed, and his life was changed, just because of that Gideon Bible placed there at the school. Another area that I worked at was a military induction center there in Raleigh. We would go in 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And the officer in charge would invite any soldier that wanted to come in to get a copy of God's Word. This is our military Bible that we've got. And this is what we'd pass out. And we'd tell them that there's a help section in the front of this Bible. And they can turn to that, but most importantly, there's the plan of salvation in the back. And then we would pray with them. But somebody filed a lawsuit against us to keep us from praying with those soldiers. So we had to quit doing that. But I just read a note. I was looking on the internet yesterday, and I was reading this stuff put out on the internet. It was it showed a picture of a baby and a picture of a soldier and a boot and all that. And I got to read, and I'm going to read from what this says here now. This is a photo of Landon Cooper that has touched tens of thousands of lives. A photo featuring a 12-year-old infant along with a photo of his father and his father's Gideon Bible. He made the ultimate sacrifice in March while serving with the U.S. Marine Corps. Within days of being posted to the Seal of Honor page on Facebook, the photo received tens of thousands of likes and comments. To date, the photo has received 135,000 likes and more than 35,000 comments. We recently contacted Landon's mother, Chrissy, Andy Carpenter's widow. She had been very touched by the public response to the baby's photo. It is pretty incredible to see that response to the photo. For those who have moved by the photo, I just want to thank you for taking time and remembering those sacrifices they made. She says, she goes on to say, I wish I could tell you how Andy got his Gideon Bible, but I do not know. But I do know that he liked to take it with him when he was training. When he had to be out on the field, I remember when I found it, with some of his belongings, it was in a zip-pack lining, probably to protect it from the weather damage. And one cool thing about it was he had our wedding announcement with inside that Bible. Andy was a wonderful man and very humble about things. He believed in God totally and was a great role model to everyone around him, she said. I know that his relationship had grown with God because I could tell. Marcia Truitt, a Nashville photographer, took that picture. We thank Casey for allowing us to share this very touching photo and story with you. And we thank our members, donors, and supporters. If it wasn't for your support and help, it wouldn't be possible to place the Gideon Bibles in a service man's hands. Thank you again for all that you do. A ministry that I really missed in Raleigh was a prison and jail ministry. It's not for everybody. But then they asked me to do it, and I said, no, I can't do that. I don't want to do it. But I spent 8 years doing it. I can tell you so many stories about what happened in the jail, the pods there. At the time that I was in Raleigh, you could go into the pods with the inmates and talk to them. But since then, they closed that all. They shut all that down. But we would go in, and we'd take Bibles that we take out of motels, and we put soft covers on them. And we had a Bible study in every pod there in Raleigh, people leading the Bible study. And we'd pass out the Bibles. We would go on Sunday nights. Our camp would go once a month. And we'd pass out the Bibles. And I'll never forget, after we passed out the Bibles, we'd have what we call a prayer circle. And we'd ask anybody that wanted to get into the prayer circle to come into that circle. And usually we'd had about half of them. A lot of them would stay back and they'd play games, cards, or be watching the television. But there was this particular time I'll never forget is there was about 20 men in a circle, and I looked at the meanest one in there, and I said, do you know Jesus? And he didn't say anything. Well, I got busy and forgot all about him. And the guard was taking me out, and I heard this voice in the background say, Mister, 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 Mister. I looked around, and you know who it was? It was the man that I talked to in that circle. You see, I'd forgot about him, but the Holy Spirit hadn't. I took him over in the corner, and I opened the back of the Bible and showed him the plan of salvation, and he prayed, asked Christ in his heart and his life. Another time, a man came up to me, and he said, I thank you for not giving up on me, because he said, every time that I didn't come in that circle, you'd come back and encourage me to get in that circle. And he said, I wouldn't do it. And he said, you never give up. That's what I think about God. He never gives up on me. He's there for me all the time. I thank him for this ministry and what it means to me and the lives that I've seen change because of this. We'd take the inmates' names and we'd pray for them for a month and till the next time. And I started taking these names. I had an address book, so I started putting the names in there. And I got three or four of these black books full of names of people that I prayed for. And I called my jail ministry Bible, or prayer book, and it's just full of people. So many of them had no remorse of what they'd done. I talked to a couple brothers that they'd killed two people at the North Carolina State Fair, and they had no remorse. And they thought, they told me, that their grandmother was a Christian, and they could get to heaven through her. Ain't that sad? That's sad. So many. I mean, there was good people. And what I saw in the jail was so many of them, they'd be there for a while, and then they'd go out for a while, and then they'd come right back. They couldn't get away from the crowd that they were in. And once they get back there, they're right back into the same problems that they had before. And all you can do is talk to them. And when we come here, they'd close the jail. And I thought, Lord, I loved doing that so much. But they had started Upward Basketball. I don't know if anybody knows anything about Upward Basketball, but it's a Christian-driven organization where we teach kids kindergarten through sixth grade not only how to play basketball, but how to study the Bible. And we teach them Scripture. And I just thank God for that. I had two teams about every year for some reason. We couldn't get enough coaches, but every year I would give each one of my players a Bible and put their name in it, and I'd say from Coach Keith, and then I'd highlight how they could be saved, and then other scriptures in John that I wanted them to read. But this past year they done away with Upward, and I don't have that anymore, but it's a great thing. And I thank God for everything that He's allowed me to do through that. And I thank you again for being willing to allow me to come in and to raise money so we can buy those Bibles. Like I said, $2 billion. I can't even imagine 2 billion scriptures being. Can you imagine how many lives that's changed? I just told you a few. Many we don't know about, but we get letters all the time from people telling about how they were changed because of the Gideon Bibles that they received. We got a note from another person he sent to the headquarters, and he was telling about how he was 27 years old and he was in jail. And he said he had three kids and he didn't want them to grow up to be like him. And could we please send him some material so they could learn more about God? And we're always glad to do that. I don't know how much time that it's. We're after 12. What time do you normally get out?
Quarter till.
Oh, I ain't going to talk that long. Sometimes I've talked 70 minutes before, but I'm not going to do that today. But Isaiah 55:11 makes a wonderful promise that tells us His word will not return void, and I claim that promise today. Like I said, there's so many times that I have an opportunity to witness to people, and I always use that opportunity. In El Salvador, they was going to have a Bible distribution over there, and there was both a morning and afternoon session. Well, the morning session went well, but when they come back in the afternoon, they found pieces of Bibles torn up and shred all over the ground, thrown around. I talked to pastors in a church that they went over in other countries, and they said they literally had to drop the Bibles to keep them getting beat up and trampled, because people in Africa are hungry for God's Word. And here in the States, it's a hard time to give the Bible sometime. But I'm about to lose my voice. John 14:8 says, if God is all you have all you need. I think that's a wonderful promise. I really do. And I'd like to read this note from Ghana, if I can find it. Just bear with me a minute. I got some manual. I got notes upon notes. is awful. I can't find it. Anyhow, I can't find that, and it's great. Let's show that video if we can. Just imagine what it would be like if you didn't have a copy of God's 9.1 word. Tons. What if you wanted a copy of it but couldn't afford it?
I was a habitual felon, meaning that I had been in prison several times. I had several, multiple felons.
No scriptures. And providing those scriptures is what we do best. Okay.
I had been prosecuted for. I had been told by my attorney that that all hope was gone. And one Saturday morning, a brave soldier came through, probably one of the bravest men that I've ever met. In his hand, he had a little brown book. He said, "Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" He opened it to the back pages and shared with me the plan of salvation. He told me that the Lord loved me and he could forgive me of all my sin.
I took that New Testament back to my cell, and for the very first time, I opened up that New Testament and I read through the entire Gospel of Mark.
I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And he gave me that little book and told me to take it with me, told me to put my name on the back of it if I believed it, and he turned and walked away.
Gideons are men of your church, doing what they've been called to do. These are your testimonies. The Gideon Ministry expands your opportunities for evangelism in your community and beyond. When you participate in the Gideon Ministry through prayer, financial gifts, and membership, you dramatically expand the reach of your church. In fact, over the 100 plus years of the Gideon Ministry, you've enabled us to give away almost 2 billion copies of Scripture. Please join hands with us as together we become God's love in action, placing His Word across the street and around the world.
I don't know where all the millions of scripture has gone, but I know where one scripture has gone, and it landed in my hands.
Because of you and the purpose and the plan of the Gideons, my whole life has changed.
And it was that scripture that began the journey for me toward a life of obedience to Christ, because it is the Word of God that transforms lives.
Here's this note from Ghana. I was born into a family where no one could manage to buy me a book. The Gideons gave me a New Testament at school. I'd always wanted to read the Bible, but I never had an opportunity because I didn't have one. As I read the Testaments, I discovered that I had not yet received Christ. As I read more, I learned that God accepts everyone, even those who are poor. I am now saved. I want to thank the people who gave the testaments without selling them, because having no money made me to stay without God in my hand and in my heart. I don't know if I like to watch Maury Davis. I don't know if you watched him on TV from Nashville. He's got the biggest church in Tennessee, I understand. Got a lot of satellite churches off his church there. But he told how at 18 years old he was in prison and was saved. I don't know where it was, a Gideon that saved him, or who it was, or was it the chaplain in the prison. But 18 years old he was saved in prison, and now he's got the biggest church in Tennessee. That's what God's Word can do. God's Word can change people. And I just claim that promise today. And I thank you again for allowing me to come and to share what God has laid on my heart this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for the pastor, Lord, and I know that his father is bad and he and his brother are there, Lord. They're working out details, Lord, or how they're going to take care of him. I just pray, Lord, you would be with them and give them strength, Lord. I pray for Emmanuel Baptist Bible Church, Lord, that you continue to guide and direct them, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will work through them, Father. I thank you again for this opportunity and what it means to me, Lord. And I know many people will be saved of what the monies that come in from this church and allows us to buy more Bibles. And by the year, we'll be able to reach that 2 billionth copy of God's Word. And I just thank you in advance for that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the goodness that you've shown us by bringing us your word so that we'll know who you are and who we are in your world and your economy and your kingdom. We pray that as these men and women who have become believers through the introduction to your word, through the Gideons, go about doing their work, that your kingdom would expand. And we pray for the goal that is Mr. Simonson has said, the 2 billionth copy of your word is placed by the Gideons. You'd bless each one of the members of the Gideons and the copies of God's word themselves as they're placed in different places. Ask you to go with us now, be with Dan as he helps care for his father and help each one of us to do what you want us to do, that we'd have wisdom to know your will and courage to do it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.